Preface. On the night of October 4th, 1966, Val and I, both in late middle age, attended the opening of Many Are Called at the Museum of Modern Art, the first exhibit of the portraits taken by Walker Evans in the late 1930s on the New York City subways with a hidden camera. It was what the social columnists liked to refer to as a superlative affair. The men were in black tie, echoing the palette of the photographs, and the women wore brightly colored dresses hemmed at every length from the Achilles tendon to the top of the thigh. Champagne was being served off little round trays by young unemployed actors with flawless features and the grace of acrobats. Few of the guests were looking at the pictures. They were too busy enjoying themselves. A drunken young socialite in pursuit of a waiter stumbled and nearly knocked me to the floor. She wasn't alone in her condition. At formal gatherings, somehow it had become acceptable, even stylish, to be drunk before 8. But perhaps that wasn't so hard to understand. In the 1950s, America had picked up the globe by the heels and shaken the change from its pockets. Europe had become a poor cousin, all crests and no table settings. And the indistinguishable countries of Africa, Asia, and South America had just begun skittering across our schoolroom walls like salamanders in the sun. True, the communists were out there, somewhere, but with Joe McCarthy in the grave and no one on the moon, for the time being, the Russians just skulked across the pages of spy novels. So all of us were drunk to some degree. We launched ourselves into the evening like satellites, and orbited the city 2 miles above the earth, powered by failing foreign currencies and finely filtered spirits. We shouted over the dinner tables and slipped away into empty rooms with each other's spouses, carousing with all the enthusiasm and indiscretion of Greek gods. And in the morning, we woke at 6:30 on the dot, clear-headed and optimistic, ready to resume our places behind the stainless steel desks at the helm of the world. The spotlight that night wasn't on the photographer. In his mid-60s, withered by an indifference to food, unable to fill out his own tuxedo, Evans looked as sad and nondescript as a retiree from General Motors middle management. Occasionally, someone would interrupt his solitude to make a remark, but he spent whole quarters of an hour standing awkwardly in the corner like the ugliest girl at the dance. No. All eyes were not on Evans. Instead, they were trained on a thin-haired young author who had just made a sensation by penning a history of his mother's infidelities. Flanked by his editor and a press agent, he was accepting compliments from a coterie of fans, looking like a sly newborn. Val took in the fawning circle with a curious gaze. He could make $10,000 in a day by setting in motion the merger of a Swiss department store chain with an American missile manufacturer, but for the life of him, he couldn't figure out how a tattletale could cause such a stir. Always mindful of his surroundings, the press agent caught my eye and waved me over. I gave a quick wave back and took my husband's arm. "Come on, sweetheart," I said. "Let's look at the pictures." We walked into the exhibition's less crowded second room and began working our way around the walls at an unhurried pace. Virtually all of the pictures were horizontal portraits of one or two subway riders seated directly across from the photographer. Here was a sober young Harlemite in a gamely tilted bowler with a little French mustache. Here was a four-eyed 40-year-old with a fur-collared coat and a wide-brimmed hat looking every bit the gangster's accountant. Here were two single girls from the perfume counter at Macy's, solidly in their 30s, a little sour with the knowledge that their best years were behind them, riding with eyebrows plucked all the way to the Bronx. Here a him, there a her. Here the young, there the old. Here the dapper, there the drab. Though taken more than 25 years earlier, the photographs had never been shown publicly. Evans apparently had some sort of concern for his subject's privacy. This may sound strange, or even a little self-important, when you consider that he had photographed them in such a public place. But seeing their faces lined along on the wall, you could understand.